You're listening to Real Talk, sponsored by Marcus Swearenberg Theaters. I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
And in today's episode, we are going to be reviewing and discussing a few teaser trailers that have been released recently. So, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the new Thor trailer, the new Justice League trailer, as well as the teaser for Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. So, pretty brief episode, I would say, but let's get right into it. Let's go ahead and start with Thor. Peter, what are your thoughts?
Think about the last two Thor films. Obviously, the 2011 and Dark World.
Yeah.
Did not care about those films to begin with.
Yeah.
And I feel like they kind of realized that with this hyper fantasy mythology thing.
Yeah.
Because it screams Guardian of the Galaxy
it
crossover
does.
In some way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
Like just the style of music, the style of the lettering, the way they were shot. Yeah, it's clearly a jump to something different.
Yeah. First thoughts, does this make you interested in seeing the film?
It does, actually, which surprised me, because after Dark World, I was like, I don't care about this character.
Yeah.
I'm just not into it. But seeing Hulk and potentially, you know, a Guardians of the Galaxy crossover, that's interesting.
Yeah. See, I'm actually completely uninterested in seeing this at this point. Based on that trailer alone, I am personally not ready for a crossover with Guardians of the Galaxy. See, I'm very excited for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I'm not ready for that to mesh yet. I'm not ready for those two worlds to collide just yet. And for me, this trailer, beautifully done, you know, from a production standpoint, obviously from a computer-generated effect standpoint. But as far as the trailer's concerned as a whole, it didn't really get me. I'm not too excited.
I wonder if they're about to do what they kind of do Iron Man, where his whole franchise is done and Thor's about to, you know, lose his franchise and be with somebody else. Because I think the original day for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
So obviously we got Hulk in this trailer.
Exactly.
And let's think about Iron Man. His last name was Iron Man 3. You had him in Age of Ultron.
Yep.
And then his next movie was Captain America, Civil War. He was
exactly.
kind of the background character. So I think that's what's going to happen with Thor.
Yeah, it's kind of setting it up for that.
Because let's be real, there's not really many people who care about Thor. Sorry to those who won't
No
are,
offense,
but
he's definitely not one of
be
my
Be honest
favorite,
with yourselves. Yeah. It's just not, he just doesn't have enough to, I think, hold up his own cinematic universe anymore, especially with Natalie Portman gone as Jane Foster for, I think forever from the Marvel Universe. I think this whole franchise, they just got to do something else now.
I agree. And, you know, again, that's no disrespect toward Thor or any Thor, you know, hardcore Thor fans out there, but I'm more of an Iron Man guy myself. So, personally, right out of the gate, I will obviously see the movie, but I'm not, you know, incredibly over the moon excited for this one.
I'm not to the point yet where I'm just sick of superhero movies all the time.
Yeah.
I definitely know it's going to happen eventually. But for now, the idea of if they shorten it to have as many characters in a movie as possible, because I think that's what you want more than anything. You want these movies to have, you know, just be big.
Yeah.
I think that'd be an interesting idea if that's what they truly go for with. Because if they try to keep Thor going, it's just not going to work out.
Yeah. So I guess kind of transitioning in there, you could potentially get to the point where you're tired of the superhero movies constantly.
Yep.
I'm slowly but surely
getting
there.
Well, on the Marvel side, no, but your transition to the DC
side
of things.
Let's go ahead and, you know, slide over to the Justice League trailer that, well,
I don't know if this is part one anymore. They just decided to go all
I don't know what's happening at all.
I don't care, really.
Yeah.
I'm so done with this Warner Brothers DC Zack Snyder disaster, but
I don't know about you, but I'd like to go back to the days of Christopher Nolan and The Dark Knight with regard to DC, but I think those days are long gone.
Oh no, they're still here and trying to make every movie super dark, but they've got to the point.
Oh
where
no,
they
no,
realize.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that quality.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's going to keep you
oh,
invested.
Yeah, quality standpoint's gone forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. But this understanding of, like, let's just make every film super serious and brooding. Like, do you really want to see Superman be just dark for the whole movie?
Exactly.
He's supposed to be heroic.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just talk about doubling down on everything you did wrong in 2016 and just keep going, because somehow they did make profit on these movies.
Yeah.
But clearly not what they wanted, because after opening week, everyone saw those reviews and, like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And this just screams like they have not learned their lesson. It's just going to be...
It's repetitive nature. It's cyclical. It's like they just keep going through it over and over again. And if you're not producing high enough quality content, you would think you're eventually going to lose the fan, maybe not lose the fans of the franchise, but you're going to lose people watching the films because, gosh, it just becomes so draining over and over again.
Because the comic book fan is not, listen, some of those hardcore DC Comics fans, which I used to be, you know, yeah, they'll keep coming back. But yeah, the general audience, that's who you need to keep.
Exactly.
Coming. And if they're leaving dramatically, like Batman versus Superman had the biggest first to second week drop in terms of box office ever.
You're right. That was an incredible flub. And it's like we just keep on this, you know, this ever going trend of more and more flubs. There has to come a time when the studio needs to wake up and realize that they're going to have to do something different if they want to retain their viewers.
I guess we might as well actually talk about what's in the trailer because
we're just ranting at this point. But
yeah, so
go ahead, give us a breakdown.
Batman, Wonder Woman are trying to save the world. There's this mystery box. I forget what it's called in the comics. I don't care anymore. the Parademons, I know that. They're coming.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Return of Superman with Zack Snyder's just religious views of how to do Superman. I guarantee you half the movie's going to be a resurrection of Superman.
Yeah.
And it's going to be,
without a doubt,
the worst thing ever seen in film.
It's going to be interesting to see how this is going to go. I could see this. Well, let's talk about this. What if he were to take this movie and kind of, you know, you're talking about the resurrection of Superman. I could see him trying to do this thing where he's trying to paint the pictures of all of the lives of these characters and how they led up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And this ridiculous underlying story that just doesn't need to be there. And it's going to take an hour and 45 minutes to develop up to the point to where we see anything that's worthwhile. And I think that's mm-hmm. a point. And we've talked about this in past interviews with Power Rangers in particular. You have certain directors who try to beat that concept too much into the film. Like, we really have to get to know these people. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of origin films, you know, based on the track record of how they've been done recently. And I'm afraid we could even see part of that in this movie, and I would not be satisfied with that.
I mean, just with this company, after two films, they could barely introduce Superman.
No, I know.
Batman, all I know is this is, I love Ben Affleck as Batman, but this is the worst version of Batman I've seen on film.
Oh my gosh, without a doubt.
I don't know what they're going to do with Wonder Woman. I'm hoping the Wonder Woman film is not a flop, but I have a feeling it might be.
Yeah.
And again, you want me to expect me that they're somehow going to introduce Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman, who they're trying way too hard to make for his own good, in what could easily be 3 hours of just...
Oh, I doubt it'll even be that. I'm two and a half. I mean, let's be honest. You're 2.5, maybe 2:45.
Well, Batman vs. Superman is 2:45, so God knows where we go from here.
I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out, and it's such a shame because... As a whole, the DC universe is incredible. There's so much to work with, but it has to be done right.
And the problem was Warner Brothers got lucky with the Christopher Nolan universe, and they wanted to repeat that, but you can't do it with every character.
You can't.
Especially with a whole cinematic universe.
Exactly. You can't do that with every character, and you can't do that when you don't have the mind behind it.
But even the Nolan trilogy had signs of life. Like,
exactly.
I don't think people realize Christian Bale is kind of funny as Bruce Wayne sometimes. He was charismatic. And this whole universe, it's just brooding, dark, and sad.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun to watch, especially for superhero movies.
You're right. You have to have some sort of uplifting nature. You have to have something that's going to keep you coming back.
Yeah.
And you're like, when you take on an entire universe and try to paint the same picture throughout the entire universe, it just doesn't work.
I mean, compared to the Thor trailer, I might not like Thor, but I know there's a good chance I might have good escapism from this.
Yeah.
This Justice League trailer, I'm just like, I don't care.
You're right. And, you know, that's something...
Because the whole songs, all that, how it looks cool, it's a lie because it's just going to be boring. And when it gets up to those fight scenes, you're going to be uninvested.
You're right. And this is something we were briefly talking about last night. And this is a bit of a tangent, but just this suspension of disbelief, you know, this... Where is it gone with filmmaking? You know, we were talking about that last night. Since the 70s and 80s, we don't see, early 90s even, we don't see it near as much as we did back in the movies that were, you know, produced back then.
Oh, yeah.
So where is it? You know, what's keeping, what's this block keeping from film studios releasing these movies that are going to kind of lend itself to the suspension of disbelief and really have you invested in the film and the adventure as opposed to, you know, what we're getting now?
You'll have to directly ask the focus group these studios use for that.
Exactly.
What their opinions are. Which it shouldn't be that way. It should just be the director, the producer, and the writer.
Exactly. It's so interesting to me because I know a really, I guess, trivial example that we were talking about last night. Let's just say Indiana Jones, for instance. You know, one of my favorite trilogies of all time. You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of my top 5 favorite movies. I just feel like we don't have that in filmmaking as much anymore. You don't have that same level of adventure, that same level of, you know, the suspension of disbelief. And it's something that we definitely have to get back to, especially in filmmaking. Because if you don't have it, again, you're going to lose people.
It's gotten to the point where they want you to care too much about a character.
Exactly.
You have to develop characters.
Without a doubt.
Like, we're going to talk about Star Wars, obviously. If I can use the example of Rogue One, my personal opinions at least, because I know you and me disagree with it on this subject.
Yeah.
I think that film needed to have the characters not so monotone to get invested with. Because Indiana Jones was nothing from – he was far from monotone.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He was fun, but we understood very quickly he was fun, he was intelligent, and he was a risk taker at times.
Yeah. We kind of got to know him quick enough.
And here's the thing. He developed with the action and the movie.
Exactly.
Rather than the movie having to stop and pause and say, okay, we need this exposition right now.
And that's exactly what we encountered with Power Rangers. You know, the first 75% of the film, we pause the action. We pause any bit of, I mean, really, truly, a lot of what could be considered interesting facts or interesting moments. And we said, let's develop these characters and make it feel like they're your best friend. You know, but it doesn't work all the time. And it definitely didn't work in that film. And I feel like time and time again, that's what we're getting. And we have to get away from that. And like you said, you know, focus groups, you know, are developing these different ideas and passing them off to the studios. But we got to get away from that. We have to develop a way to get to know characters, love characters, but keep it going throughout the film as the action is. It doesn't have to be an action film, obviously, but as the events are unfolding throughout the movie.
This is what DC and Warner Bros. Has done to us. They just made us go on this huge tangent.
I know, a huge tangent.
When we could just say in 5 seconds, this film looks terrible.
It looks terrible.
I don't really want to see it, but we have to.
I hate to be that negative person, but I will see it, but not super excited. But transitioning into kind of like...
The big one for this year.
This is the big one. Star Wars Episode 8, The
I'm
Last
amazed
Jedi.
It took them this long to get any sort of footage out.
I know.
But again, it's got to the point where we're going to have one every year.
Yeah.
It's always on people's minds. So we're kind of doing the marketing ourselves.
Which does make me afraid. You know, we've talked about this, I believe, in past episodes. I always love the idea that with Lucasfilm, you have to wait. And that builds up that anticipation. You really have to wait. You know, you get so excited. But now it's kind of... They're spoon feeding us the Star Wars universe, and I'm wondering if it's going to wear down. And I really hope it's not going to diminish the quality, but I definitely think it could.
You know, it's funny, that's the surprising thing. Like, we're gonna have like what 10 superhero movies this year, or next year, a few years down the road, some crazy number like that. For some reason I'm not sick of that yet, but one Star Wars a year, I thought I wasn't gonna be sick of that for whatever, because you know, one Star Wars, that's not too bad. I'm kind of getting there, because it's just like, oh boy, it used to feel special, and now it's just like they're going to hammer out as much as they can.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still very special. I mean, being, you know, one of my favorite franchises of all time, I definitely still get very excited, and I still look forward to it, but it's like you really need to make sure you take the time to fully develop your story and make sure that it's going to be done correctly, because if there's anything I don't want to see done poorly, and we're not going to mention the prequels right now. If there's anything I don't want to see done poorly, that's Star Wars. Much like I think Indiana Jones was done with Part 4 of Indiana Jones. Again, Indiana Jones, another one of my favorite franchises of all time. We had that you know, break between films, but when it came to development for that movie, the fourth part of Indiana Jones, that was so rushed, and it was just terrible. And I don't want Star Wars to get that way. And so far, I don't think it is, but I think it definitely has the potential to get to that point with this rushed release of films, you know, over the next few years.
And my biggest worry is, you know, again, they're trying to get these big story, the big main films out every 2 years with a different director each time.
Exactly.
And, you know, you have to put faith in the producers, and, you know, I love Kathleen Kennedy to death, but her and when she's with Disney, I'm just not sold that sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I guess talking about the actual Episode 8 trailer, Last Jedi.
I'm incredibly excited for it. And I know that you're going to say you're indifferent, because that's Peter. That's a Peter thing.
Well, again, it's Star Wars, so of course I'm going to see it, but...
Peter is the biggest Star Wars fan, but at the same time hates it more than anyone I've ever met.
Well, that's how Star Wars works. That's how Star Wars works nowadays.
Not quite for me, but go ahead.
It looks like they're going to introduce... Because here's my thing with Star Wars. Keep pushing the lore forward. That's the thing that Episode 7 did not do for me. It was just more the same. And Rogue One, we have that one scene where it's like, oh, he put the error in the Death Star there so it can be exploited. It's like, did I really need this movie for that one scene? But this
movie... But why not? That's the thing.
We've already done a...
We've done an entire episode of this, but again, that's a point that you make that makes zero sense to me. You know, well, we didn't need a movie for this. Why are you complaining over another Star Wars movie? I was very happy to have another movie. But anyways...
I want quality, Colin.
It was quality. Give me a break. Anyways, keep going.
Oh, God, where were we? Oh, yeah, they're... Here's the weird thing with Disney. They said everything outside the Star Wars universe, besides a few things in literature, TV, was canon.
Yeah.
And one of the things from the old, the quote-unquote old canon, was the gray Jedi, like the middle ground between the Jedi and Sith.
Yeah.
And that looks like because there was a logo of, I'm guessing, literature books, maybe she was?
Yeah.
In that like cave area.
Yeah. I was talking
especially with the promotional poster.
Yeah.
Of the Jedi rays holding blue at the bottom, red at the top. So maybe there's going to be like that exploration.
And I think, that's the same kind of opinion that I have. I was talking to Jason and to Dan about this earlier today. I'm totally into that idea and, you know, having Rey kind of be this balanced mind that kind of holds the two together, but at the same time maintains that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Luke, what do you think about Luke? Because based on this teaser, it's hard to tell what is going on with Luke Skywalker and what the fate of Luke Skywalker is.
Well, it's just going to be interesting to see what the last Jedi means.
Exactly.
Is it the literal last of the Jedi as a...
Meaning,
you know,
singular or plural?
Or mostly like the old ways of the Jedi. Like, do the Jedi have to like change their ways after being basically eliminated those years ago in the storyline?
Yeah.
So that's as for Skywalker, I'm hoping we get more detail on Kylo Ren's storyline.
I think we will.
That's something Seven just completely didn't do. We're probably going to get the Knights of Ren this time, I hope. And my big thing with this film has to do, please explain what the Force is, because after Rey's power transition in Seven, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I understand.
And you got to fix Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be a villain.
Yeah.
And him killing Han Solo was not enough. Oh, spoilers.
It's not enough.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, spoiler for episode 7 if you haven't already seen it.
2 years ago.
I agree. Just simply him killing, you know, his father was not enough for me to really buy into the fact that he was a true evil villain. And we were talking about this right before we started this show, or this episode, rather. Darth Vader, for two movies, was just an evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was just pure evil. You didn't really know why he was pure evil, but he was just pure evil. And I feel like they're trying to over-explain Kylo Ren's motives. And to me, that makes him less terrifying. And we've talked about this with other movies in the past, like the Halloween remakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they over-explain Michael Myers' upbringing, you know, for the first three-fourths of the movie. And then at the end, here he goes on his killing spree. Makes him less scary.
Yeah.
So, and this is something Jason and I were talking about earlier today. I think with a villain, you don't have to necessarily make them relatable.
No.
I think they should just be evil.
They really shouldn't be.
I mean, for me, that makes them more terrifying. And I love for a villain to truly terrify me. And that's what Darth Vader was. You know, as a kid, I thought he was awesome. But at the same time, you don't want to mess with him because you never know when he's going to snap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I guess just going back to the trailer for episode 8 actually does, we get a... looks into Rey's training with Luke.
Yeah.
Which probably the best part in all the Star Wars movies was the training between Yoda and Luke.
Exactly,
in episode 5. So
That could be good. That could be really cool.
My biggest complaint with Force Awakens was it was just too much like A New Hope. So I'm hoping this one doesn't feel too much like Empire Strikes Back. I hope it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Pushes, you know, the universe forward in a positive direction. And we're going to have Finn back. Looks like he's in a surgical pod or something.
Yeah, it's interesting.
We got Poe and BB-8 back, of course. You're going to have BB-8 for a long
without
time.
Without a doubt.
With that marketing,
I was going to say they're going to market that to the ends of the earth. But anyways.
And, looks like it'll be Princess Leia's send-off after Carrie Fisher's passing.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Not too much detail. But showing you a lot of where it could go.
But effective. I thought it was incredibly effective.
It makes you think, like, what could they do? That's what I want.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want the whole film to be spoiled for me.
Exactly. I don't either. And I think from a musical standpoint, as always, kind of like we've talked about in the past, you have Star Wars music, it sets a tone.
Mm-hmm.
And the music used for the trailer set the tone for me. So I'm incredibly excited for this movie, as I always am with any Star Wars movie. I'm very excited for this, and I'm ready to see it already.
Like I said, even at my most cynical of Star Wars, there is never a thought in my mind saying maybe I'll skip this one. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I will see them all, even if they have 7 Episode 2 quality movies in a row.
Yeah.
I'll still be like, well, maybe this one will be the one that can turn around.
And I'll still do what I always do in the past, and I'll see it like 3 to 5 times.
Absolutely.
You know, in the theater. Because why not? You gotta get a good feel for it.
And who knows? Maybe this is the only trailer we're going to get from Disney, seeing how long it took them to get one out.
I feel like I wouldn't be mad. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I mean, I would like one more, perhaps, but I wouldn't be mad if there wasn't. Because one thing I love is to go into a movie completely surprised and have no clue what to expect. That's one of my favorite things about seeing movies and watching movies in general. So I'd be fine. I don't know about you, but I'd be fine.
We'll have to see what happens.
We will have to see. Anything else to say with regard to The Last Jedi?
Hoping for the best. That's all I can say at this point.
Hoping for the best, and I'm confident. So we shall see. And I mean, we have a long time till the movie comes out, but
to wrap up, Thor, maybe Justice League,
probably not.
We'll see it for you.
We'll see it for you and let you know.
And Star Wars, let's be real, we're all going to see it.
We're all going to see Star Wars, and whether you want to admit it or not, you're excited to see Star Wars.
Yep.
But and of course, look for us, you know, down the road, and you'll have a review of that as well, of course. So I think that about wraps it up. What about you?
Yeah, good show. Like you said, we'll have reviews for all three of these at some time in the future.
That's right. So, as always, folks, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, as well as KRCU.org. You can also get on Facebook. Check out KRCU's page on Facebook. Give it a like. You can also find links to our show there. So, for Real Talk, I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
We'll see you at the movies.